I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC original podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a brand new show from the makers of the award-winning podcast, Criminal. They've made a new show that has nothing to do with crime. This show is about love. Stories of sacrifice, obsession, and the ways in which we bet everything on each other. Stories like a woman who becomes a best-selling novelist by writing more than 100 books about her first romance. Or a teenage girl who saves a baby whale by staying with it in the ocean for hours. The show is called This Is Love. Find them at thisislovepodcast.com or subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Lou. Just a quick heads up. There's a little bit of language in this episode that might not be appropriate for all listeners.
She really kind of lost it. She's like, stop pushing. It will end our friendship if you come.
From CBC, this is Love Me, a show about the messiness of human connection. Episode 2, Shame. I once broke up with a friend of mine because she became too chronically sad. I couldn't take it anymore. You know, when we first met, we had a really great time together. We would have these adventures and we'd be giggling and laughing the whole way through. And little by little, her sadness started creeping in. She was always lamenting that her career really wasn't working out the way she wanted it to, and that she couldn't find a boyfriend, and she wanted kids, and she didn't know if she'd get to have kids. And it became debilitating. There was this one time when I was dropping her off after having dinner, and we were parked in front of her house, and she just wasn't getting out of the car. You know, she was just waiting. And I was thinking, like, what is this? Are we going to kiss? Is this a date? Like, what is going on? And then I realized, no, she's just lonely. And she doesn't want the night to end. She doesn't want to go in the house alone. In the end, I just couldn't handle her neediness. So I let more time go by between visits. And then I stopped taking her calls. I never told her why. And I'm ashamed of that. Ashamed I wasn't a better friend.
My best friend is a woman I've never met. I mean, like, you have your high school best friend, you have your college best friend, I had a maid of honor at my wedding, but Kate is my functional best friend. She's the person I call when stuff goes wrong. She's the person I call if I need to vent, or I need to cry, or I just need somebody to listen to what's going on in my life. 4 years ago, we met in an online writing group. We both hated all the same stuff. At first, we talked by private message and email, and then one night, I needed feedback on a piece, and she let me call her at 1 o'clock in the morning and read the story to her. And ever since, we've talked every day. Kate always picks up. She's always home. And this is because one of the first things she ever told me, she said she was circus freak fat. She's housebound. She lives in a house in Louisiana that she inherited from her parents. Both her parents were hoarders, so she lives surrounded by giant piles of stuff. And about 6 years ago, 2 years before we met, her health deteriorated and it got hard to walk, so she left her job at the power company, cashed out her retirement, and basically went home to die. She couldn't even take out her own garbage. Like, every so often she would order pizza. She could only eat food that delivered. And when the pizza guy came, he would take her trash can to the curb. And then the next time she ordered something off Amazon, the UPS delivery guy would bring the garbage can back up from the curb. Kate doesn't get out much, but I get out a lot. And Kate and I have this thing where everywhere I go, I call her from someplace interesting and I turn in a circle and I tell her everything I see. So I go to Alaska, to South Africa, to Nepal, and I was at Manakamana, this temple on a mountaintop in Nepal, and I call her up and turn a quarter turn, and I'm like, in front of me there's, you know, all these offering tables covered with like red and gold fabric, and I turn a quarter turn and there's this pen full of black goats, and I hold up the phone so she can hear the temple bells. She tells me I'm her window on the world. As I'm learning what her daily life is like, you know, as I'm learning stuff like she really missed fruit because nobody delivers fruit. You know, it's the one thing Amazon doesn't sell. You know, as I'm learning that, you know, there's six buckets of fishing baubles in the carport, but she can't throw them away because she remembers tying fishing baubles with her dad when she was a little kid. I start thinking, well, maybe I can help with this. You know, I mean, I'm reasonably able-bodied and I travel all over the world for my job and I go through the American South a lot. And I say, I have a week between Florida and Tennessee. Could I come take out some boxes for you? And she says, you're funny. I call her from Edmonton. She spends like a week listening to me whine and then helps me break up. I call her from Michigan and she helps me get divorced. I send her the manuscript of my novel and she reads all of it 3 times, 2.5 times more than my mom. One year in August, she said she was really hot. Her air conditioner had broken. And I said, I could come help with that. I probably wouldn't even have to come in the house. And she, you know, she really kind of lost it. She's like, stop pushing. It will end our friendship if you come. She was afraid that if I saw her body, if I saw her house, if I saw her, that I wouldn't like her anymore, that I wouldn't be her friend anymore. And I think that as well as all the boxes, she just had this giant hoard of shame. We would have these conversations where she would say something like, I think I'll go to the door today. And it took like an hour because she would have to crawl there. And after, you know, a few rounds of I'd like to come and help you, you know, no, don't come, I finally was like, you know, I have to do this. I have to go and help my friend. And I ended up in this little town in Arkansas that was less than an hour away from where Kate lived in Louisiana. And I thought, I am going to do this right. And, you know, she'd had some trouble with deliveries going to the back door because the back door was inaccessible and she would like wait all day at the front door and then discover that they had left the delivery at the back door. And so I like print out this handy little sign that says, take all deliveries to front. And I get my sign laminated and I buy some oranges and some apples and I buy bananas that are still green so that they will last. And I Google map her house and I pick up the phone to be like, you know, ready or not, here I come. She picks up. She always picks up. And she says, hey, is everything okay? And I realize in that moment that the price of having Kate on the other end of the line is letting her stay at the other end of the line. That as long as we never meet, she can be the person who helps me instead of a person who needs help. I put the fruit in the fridge, I put the sign in the garbage, and I say, no reason, just called to say hi.
important suggestions for the use of your telephone. Before calling any number, first remove the receiver and listen for the dial tone. It sounds like this.
Keep in touch with home by phone.
Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
It's Tupperware's 10th birthday, and you're getting the present. If you go to a Tupperware party between now and May 6th, as one of the first 12 guests,
get a real carpet buy starting at only $388 a square yard.
It's time for another episode of Learning to Love Yourself.
Have you ever felt down and out and unable to love yourself the way you deserve? Today's divorcee, Marcia, sure has. She's here to reconnect with herself and find true love within. Because self-love
is the best love.
That's right. And now, here's your host, Dwayne Delaware.
Welcome to Learning to Love Yourself, the dating game show where we play matchmaker between sad sack singles and the inner selves they deeply hate. It's time to bring out our down-in-the-dumps contestant, Marcia! Welcome, Marcia!
Hey, Dwayne.
Now, Marcia, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 42, recently divorced, never had kids. I guess my life got a bit off track when I had one too many Manhattans at the office Christmas party and cheated on my husband with the mail boy, Todd. We were doing the hustle, and the next thing I remember is waking up in his bedroom, wrapped in his Star Wars sheets. Turns out Todd was only 18, so I lost my job. My husband kicked me out, and I've been sleeping on my mother's couch ever since.
Well, now, Marcia, you know we don't like to hear that, but that's why we're here to help. They say true love starts with loving yourself, and that's exactly what we're aiming for tonight! Behind this velvet curtain are your three suitors, all selected from deep within your own consciousness.
Wait, what? How is that possible?
Don't think about it too hard, little darling. Suitor number one is Marcia's superego. How are you, suitor number one?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
It says here that you speak 12 languages, are the captain of the women's water polo team, and mentor young ladies with crotch therapy.
Actually, Dwayne, that's pronounced crocherapy, where I help troubled youth tap into the healing powers of crochet.
Well, glad to have you here, superego.
Merci, grazie, arigato.
To your right, suitor number two is Marcia's id. Am I pronouncing that right? Id? It's short, but a bit of a mouthful.
Not too short, I hope. Though I'll take you up on that mouthful.
Well, aren't you a firecracker?
I'm not wearing a bra!
And finally, suitor number three, Marcia's ego.
Hello, Dwayne.
Now, a little birdie told me backstage that you've been looking out for Marcia since childhood. Is that right, ego?
It is, Dwayne. I'm hoping she'll realize that she doesn't have to be perfect in order to love herself the way I love her.
Well, good luck to you, ego. And good luck to all our suitors tonight. Now, Marcia, you'll have 5 minutes to ask them anything you like. If you settle on a match and find self-love, we'll send you both on a dream date provided by our sponsors. Let's hear what's in store for the lucky couple. Charlie?
Dwayne, we'll be sending Marcia on a date with herself to Sammy's Steakhouse and Spa for some much-needed R&R and R. Of course, the third R stands for their world-famous ribs, starting at just $12.99.
Sounds delightful, Charlie. All right, Marcia, are you ready to begin?
I guess.
Why don't you go ahead and ask suitor number one your first question?
Hello, suitor number one. I'm wondering, what have you always wanted to try, but haven't yet?
Well, actually, I'm not one to procrastinate, so I've never put off something that I wanted to achieve. I mean, what do I look like? Some pathetic loser who can't get their life together?
Let's move on to suitor number two, shall we?
Hello, suitor number two. Do you see the glass as half empty or half full?
Well, if there's vodka in that glass, it doesn't stay full for long when I'm around. Can you dig it?
We can dig it.
Suitor number three?
Suitor number three. If you could change one mistake from your past, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, good question. probably not getting divorced sooner. I guess I never believed I could be happy on my own, but I've been doing some soul searching and learning to show myself the same compassion I show others, and I've realized I can make myself happy. I mean, we can make ourselves happy. Oh, please, she's nobody without Richard. Who's going to put up our shelves and help us practice our tennis swing?
Well, we could always join a swingers club. Am I right, Dwayne?
Ladies, behave now. Please, Marcia, continue.
Okay, suitor number one. What is your favorite season and why?
I'm a summer, but winter tones shine through in my crystal clear complexion.
What's that? Did someone say crystal clear?
What the?
Nothing gets glassware crystal clear like True Clean, Canada's number one detergent. And now with True Clean Fabric Wash, keep those polyester leisure suits looking like new without all the hassle of dry cleaning. True Clean even gets engine oil out. So keep on truckin' with True Clean.
Thanks for that, Charlie, and thanks for keeping me looking spiffy, True Clean. Carry on, Marcia.
Suitor number three, your house is on fire. What do you grab as you run out?
I grab a photo album with all our childhood memories so you can just see how far we've come together. You're such a beautiful person, Marcia. Inside and
God,
out.
God, you're such a cheeseball.
Suitors, I'll have to ask you to stay silent when it's not your turn. Please go on, Marcia.
Suitor number one, if you could have just one wish, what would it be?
To have been born in the consciousness of less of a fuck-up, I guess? Kidding! But no, yeah, that would be my wish.
Ouch. Suitor number two, you're stranded on a desert island. What three things do you miss most?
Sex, Todd, and sex with Todd. Oh, and roller skating. Naked roller skating with Todd. He's 18.
I know, right? He's legal and still so supple.
That's not what I meant.
Whatever. I'm still hot and I can have what I want.
Suitors, that's your last warning.
By the way, is that a real mustache, Dwayne? How do you keep it so thick and shiny?
I'm glad you asked, Id. Charlie?
Well, Dwayne, today's show is brought to you by Zippity-Doo Mustache Wax for Men. The men's mustache wax recommended by most physicians. Our live studio audience will find a tube of Zippity-Doo Mustache Wax for Men right under their seats.
Wowie! Isn't that exciting? Alrighty. No need to push and shove. Everyone's got one. Well, save a tube for me, will ya? Alrighty, back to the game. Next question, Marcia.
Suitor number three. What's your spirit animal?
My spirit animal would be a possum.
Charlie, no one asked you.
Our spirit animal would be a tiger, because it's resilient and strong, just like us.
Aww.
All right, well, that's the end of the question round. How are you feeling about your suitors and your journey back to self-love, Marcia?
I don't know. They're kind of the worst, but there's something about each of them that resonates with me, because they're a part of me, you know? I don't know if I'm making any sense.
That's all right, sweetheart. This whole thing makes no sense. But maybe our bonus round will help clear things up. Here's the skinny. In this round, each suitor has 10 seconds to convince you that they're worthy of your love, because you're worthy of your love. Are you ready, suitors?
Oh, I was born ready.
Yep, you bet.
Dynamite. Okay, Charlie, start the clock.
Hi, Marcia. It's me, your superego. If you choose me, I promise to be a good influence. I won't let you leave the house with yogurt in your hair anymore. We'll go back to jazzercise and diet colas to get rid of that beer belly, and we'll find a way to win Richard back. Oh, and we'll start recycling and learn Chinese and adopt a starving child from Africa.
Okay, time's up. Suitor number two.
Hey, Marshy, don't listen to that snob. It's me, your Ed.
Where did you get that Mai Tai?
Charlie made it for me.
Charlie, is that true?
No.
I'll save this cute little umbrella for Todd. He collects them.
Time's ticking, suitor number two.
Oh, right. If you choose me, we'll go down to the mall. We'll buy some leopard print booty shorts and embrace the cougar inside that has been desperately clawing her way out of that sham of a marriage for years now. Believe me, getting divorced was the best thing that ever happened to us. Now we can finally see where this whole Todd thing goes, you know?
Whee! Sounds fun. Can I come?
Shush, Charlie. Suitor number three.
Hey, Marcia, it's me, your ego. Oh, is this thing on? Okay. Look, I know it's been a really rough year, but we can turn things around together. Remember back when we were kids and we took part in that marshmallow study? Remember how those researchers put a single marshmallow on the table in front of us and promised that if we didn't eat the marshmallow right away, in 15 minutes they would come back in and give us 2 marshmallows? You remember how painful it was for us to sit alone in that room, just staring at that one marshmallow? Sweat pouring down our face, imagining how good that sweet goo would taste right then, right there. And then, after about 3 minutes, we caved and just stuffed it in our face. And we felt immediately disgusted with ourselves, like we had failed, like we were ashamed. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to be ashamed, Marcia. You were just a kid, and you tried your best, and that's enough. It's always been enough.
Marcia, don't listen to her. You failed that experiment because without me, you're a failure.
Don't talk to her like that.
Don't talk to her like that.
Let's be honest here for once. If it wasn't for you two bozos, we wouldn't be in this mess in the first place.
Shut your face. You're such a stuck-up bitch.
Ladies,
Todd
please.
Says
oh,
just...
give it a rest. He's a teenager.
Ladies,
you need to stop stalking
him. I'm going to
have
him. To insist Never. That you settle down.
Give me your little black book. I'm going to rip out his number.
Don't you dare.
Take your
He's
seats.
The love of my
please.
Life.
Ladies,
Marcia, please just ignore them. They're out.
Oh, boy. Looks like she'll have a real bump on her noggin
it's
in the morning.
You and me now, slut.
In your dreams, prude.
Well, Marcia, that's it for the bonus round. Have you made a decision?
Pick me, Marshmallow. We're the best team.
Do the right thing, Marcia.
Marcia, please.
Come on, girl. I have to pick just one.
I'm afraid those are the rules, kiddo.
But, I mean, none of them are perfect. But maybe if I could choose all of them, we could help balance each other out or something.
Congratulations! You've just won the grand prize!
I have?
You've learned to love yourself as you are, flaws and all.
Wow.
The grand prize is a trip for all 4 of you to sunny Bora Bora for a week of group therapy!
Yay!
Ooh, foursome.
I knew we could do it.
We have to go on a trip with these dummies.
Can Todd come?
That's all the time we have for today, folks. Tune in next week when lost all his savings betting on a turtle race, Tony tries to learn to love himself again. I'm Dwayne Delaware saying see you next time. Take us out, Charlie.
Thanks, Dwayne, and thanks again to all our sponsors. We love you dearly. But of course, not as much as we love ourselves, because self-love is the best love. Good night, everybody.
Learning to Love Yourself was written by Mira Burt-Wintonik and Crystal Duhaime, and it featured Mary Holland, Ezra Fama DeSmit, and Bruce Edwards. Special thanks to the Monday Night Choir.
I will blow it all on a romantic getaway with that cutie patootie Todd. And we'd sail away into a tequila sunrise on our catamaran.
Oh, I've got a rubber dinghy I could lend you. Not quite a catamaran, but she floats.
At the beginning of the show, you heard Allison Williams. Allison is a writer and the host of the Brevity podcast at brevitymag.com. Love Me is produced by Mira Burt-Wintonik and Crystal Duhaime. Original theme music by Tim Kingsbury. Scoring music by Murray Lightburn. Additional music by Valleys and Malt Tabulated Sounds. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or at cbc.ca/loveme. If you love Love Me the way Love Me loves you, please review us on iTunes. I know everyone asks for it, but it really helps. It would mean a lot. I'm Lou Olkowski. Thanks for listening. And now, here's a sneak peek of next week's show.
I remember him saying this to me. I'll kill myself. You'll still have my life insurance. You'll get $1 million. I said to him, Jeff, if you kill yourself, you're going to kill the kids. How can you possibly even consider that? You've got 2 sons who need you. And he kind of said, phew, that's a relief. It was like I gave him permission to be alive.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.